If you're ready to live your life with passion, bliss, euphoria, and a freedom you never knew was possible, then this show is for you. Join celebrity host Dame Nicole Brandon, the world's top expert in reaching it all, as she shares her knowledge for unlimited finances, wealth, love, joy, and unbridled living. This is Passionate Living. And now, Dame Nicole Brandon.
Well, hi, it's Dame Nicole Brandon. Welcome to Passionate Living. I have such an exciting and such an extraordinary show for you today. We created Passionate Living. It was my deepest desire to bring to you the top experts in the world that had the keys, the tools, the secrets, and the techniques to live an unbridled life, the unlimited life, the happily ever after. And today we are speaking with the creator of the happily ever laughter life of joy, of happiness, of love and living and success. Today we are speaking with legendary comedian, actor, artist Yakov Smirnoff. Yakov has set a precedent throughout the world in comedy, how to actually create laughter heart, from the spirit, from the soul. Incredible background is just absolutely amazing. And you may remember Yakov from The Tonight Show, from his specials on HBO and Showtime. He worked for the White House. He actually presented in the White House for three separate presidents. And his show right now, Happily Ever Laughter, has taught people to love and to care in an entirely different way with joy on their heart. And so it's my great honor and pleasure to bring you one of my very favorite people and certainly one of the most talented people I've ever come across, Yakov Smirnoff. Yakov, welcome to this show.
Wow, thank you so much. I love the intro. I could just listen to it for the rest of the show. Thank you. That was spectacular.
Oh, my gosh. It's so wonderful having you on the show. And one of my favorite questions on Passionate Living is always the did you know question. The when you were 6 or 7 or 8, when other little boys wanted to be firemen or veterinarians or whatever it was, did you always have the capacity to bring people joy and laughter? And did you know that this would be your path?
I did not know that this will be my path. I did enjoy making people laugh since I was a kid. And that was started when I was living in a communal apartment, and the life in the Soviet Union was pretty difficult. You know, we had 9 families lived in one apartment, and each family occupied one room. So one family lived in a living room, one family lived in a den, one family lived in a bedroom. And so we had this very small place for all And so there was a lot of tension, as you can imagine, in that kind of environment. However, you know, I was able to release the tension by making jokes or making people laugh. My parents wanted to be romantic, and we had just one room. They would send me to look out the window. and then my dad would say, "So what do you see in the window?" And I said, "Our neighbors being romantic," you know, and he said, "How can you tell?" I said, "Because their son is looking at me." and I was, you know, I heard the laughter of my parents, and it sounded so wonderful, you know, and I realized that they were happy, my parents. So that connected in my head. It's like laughter means people happy. And so did I know this would become my life's path? Not really, no, because I got the job. I mean, I went through school, and then my parents needed to be secure, so I went to get a degree as a refrigeration mechanic. That was not necessarily really the most important job in Russia, where temperature, you know, goes up 4. So you don't really need much refrigeration. So, but that was my beginnings. And then in school, I would make people laugh. And And then I went to military, and that was the same thing. I got, you know, people to kind of gather around me because they needed, they wanted some the release of tension, and they wanted to connect, and I was the guy. So, I mean, it was happening, and it was kind of a writing on the wall, but I couldn't read it. I didn't know, yeah.
Wow, a refrigerator repairman. I cannot even imagine that. Or to be living in a place where there are so many people in this space. And it's interesting because I watch your comedy, and it is different than anything else I have ever seen from generations, you know, before me to future to today. And one of the things that I think that makes your comedy so special is the way that you relate to people. And so was that from having people around so often in different characters and different personalities?
I guess, you know, I was adopting, and the city I grew up in, Odessa on Ukraine, is a port city. So it was kind of famous for being a humorous, it actually, they called it capital of humor in Russia. And every April Fool's Day, they had a parade. So obviously, I was exposed to a lot of different characters and different kind of people that were settling in that city more than it would be, let's say. But who knows what influenced me the most? Probably, you know, my dad's sense of humor and my mom kind of being a straight person for him. So it was always there. The humor was always there.
Wow. So when you talk about your parents, was that the impetus for you connecting comedy and laughter to love?
I think that was a major influence. I mean, it was recognizing that when they were in balance, and that took me a while. It wasn't something I understood when I was younger, and it actually took me going back to college and getting my master's degree in psychology and analyzing kind of my own experiences in life. It became more apparent to me that when my parents were in balance and they were playing the roles that the other person really appreciated, then laughter was abundant. And when they would not be in which it's predictable when needs of people are met, then the laughter can live there.
That's so beautiful. That's so beautiful. And then you came to America. And what was that like to leave Russia and to land here and to start a whole new world and vision and dream?
Well, I mean, you can look at there's a scary part, obviously, and coming to a totally new environment and recognizing that you got to, you know, roll up your sleeves and use all of the strengths that you ever acquired or were born with to be able to survive and then prosper, and the opportunities are great. So it's kind of confusing a lot of times in the beginning, because you have this, you can have it all, but you don't speak English or you don't know anybody in America, and so the opportunities are there, but it can be very overwhelming that you got to really learn everything from scratch. However, if you have the desire, which I did, and the tenacity, which I did, and then certain skills that fit this lifestyle in America. That's why I'm talking to you from Malibu, looking at this beautiful ocean. And every day I pinch myself and I go, it really my life? Is it, am I watching somebody else's life? What happened here? And I know what did happen. And I know what happens every day. It's a lot of work and a lot of perseverance and a lot of tenacity goes into it. But how are the results in this country that you can achieve are amazing.
Wow. And I remember, I know we're going to a break in just a minute. We're talking about the sign, that the America Loves Smirnoff sign.
Yes, yes. Yeah, that was very inspiring. You know, walking off the plane and seeing that big sign that lit, you know, and says, America loves Smirnoff. And I said, what a country. Here we go. Here I am.
This is amazing. And we come back from break. I want to talk about another side of you, something that you actually did for this country that I think very few people know, and something that came from your heart and was a gift to this country that you love so much. And one of my greatest pictures or visions that I've ever remembered seeing was a picture of you being inducted and becoming an American citizen. And I think that was so profound and so beautiful and so stimulating in a way, because it gives you hope. And I remember Julia Butterfly Hill, who was a woman who lived up in the trees during the logging. And she had said once that, Julia, even if you're the only person that has hope, that hope exists in the world. And I think that looking at that picture of you at that ceremony gives people hope, gives people vision, and it makes your heart smile. You talk about laughter and you talk about joy, but there are places inside of us that are happy. And just having you do that actually changed the face of society, because we now have you here representing us here today and some more with Yakov Smirnoff and Happily Ever After when we return on Passionate Living. What puts a smile on your face? What joy lights your heart? The passionate life.
The cutting edge of conscious radio. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Know what to do, just can't figure out how to fit it all into your busy life? It doesn't have to be that way. Hi, I'm Ellen Vaisberg from Seamless Life. Join me every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio and learn the how of conscious living. Let me and my guests help make your life seamless.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Hello, I'm Miriam Knight of New Consciousness Review, inviting you to my new show where I interview the rising stars of the conscious awakening. We'll explore the many faces of consciousness in action and intriguing perspectives on life, the universe, and everything in between. Join us each Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern on the Rising Stars Show.
Feed your soul with Waves of Consciousness on OM Times Radio.
Yes. Well, hi, esteemed Nicole Brandon. We are back with Yakov Smirnoff. Just absolutely unbelievable, incredibly talented, wise, wicked smart, and unbelievably creative and artistically you. And just,
thank you.
Of course, and just, well, thank you for being you. And just before we were going to break, I wanted to share with our listeners something that I found out about you just about maybe 2 years ago now. And I know that it changed my life when that information came into my world, because it was something that I didn't know. But when you're talking about being a refrigerator repairman, there was another talent that was brimming inside of you, which was your artistic creativity. And I know that you actually took that gift and shared it with our nation. And if you would like to, I would love you to be able to talk that a little.
Sure. Well, one of the talents that you're describing is painting. And I went to college in Russia and got my bachelor's degree in as a teacher of art. And so it always have something that I do when I'm feeling emotionally charged, whether it's extreme happiness, whether it's extreme sadness. 9/11 happened. That was obviously a shock. And for me, it was probably bigger, even shock than the people in America. It's hard to even imagine. But because I was sworn in at the Statue of Liberty ceremonies, and so my landscape of America was very much locked in during that demolition ceremony. And at that time, I saw the Statue of Liberty and the towers that were so representing that landscape of America, and it was locked in my head. And then sitting, watching on television, those towers being destroyed, and not even imagining that that's even possible, my brain started thinking, how can I fix how? And obviously, physically, it's possible to fix. But in my mind, if I could send a message somehow that it's a building, yes, it's a symbol, but the spirit of America cannot be destroyed. And that was going through my mind. And so as the second tower came down, I grabbed a canvas and I started drawing and painting. And I had several different versions in my mind of taller buildings and, you know, finding a way to replace it. And then it occurred to me that can be also destroyed, but that American spirit and American's heart cannot be destroyed. And so that's how the image, and if somebody wants to see it online, just go to my site and you'll see different images of that. It was called, the painting became America's Heart, and it was placed in landscape of New York City instead of the towers that were down at that point, and coming out of the smoke like Phoenix rebuilding itself. And I painted all night. I couldn't stop. I wanted to get it done. And then as I was painting, I had this vision that I will have it somehow mural in New York City at the Ground Zero. And I had no idea how. I just pictured it on the building at the Ground Zero as a message to America that the spirit cannot be destroyed. And the words that I put under that painting was that human spirit is not measured by the size of an act, but by the size of a heart. And so I had that desire, unfortunately, after the 9/11, not, you know, many building owners were receptive to have a phone call from a Russian comedian saying, I'd like to put a painting on top of your building, just because of security everywhere was so tight. And so I started making trips. I was living at that time in Branson, Missouri, and I was making trips to New York if I can find someone who will, you know, want to embrace it. And no one did. I mean, from City Hall to Mayor Giuliani's office to lobbyists that I was willing to give them money to for their causes to just help me. And they would say, we won't take your money because we can't do anything about it. And I would say something is wrong with this country when politicians don't want to take your money. And but eventually it worked out to the that I found a way that one building that was really damaged, the owners of the building lived in Ohio, and by contacting them and showing them what I wanted to do, they agreed to give me a 10-day permission for 10 days to put this up, to put this painting up. And the painting was that I wanted to put up was 130 feet wide by 200 feet tall.
Oh my gosh.
It was not just a small piece. And so it was really, really difficult because the only thing I had was their permission and maybe one scaffolding permit that was really not what I needed, but I reached out to steel union workers who put up big billboards and I reached out to them and I made a meeting with them in New York at that building that now is really right next to the 9/11 museum. And actually 9/11 museum is trying to get this painting and the exhibit to, we're just trying to figure out details how to do it. But that's, we've been working on that. But
incredible.
I met them and it was kind of like a scene in a Godfather movie or something. It's a one light bulb on the ceiling. The building is totally abandoned. And this four union workers meeting me there and they're in hard hats and they're all cussing in all different languages. And I said, why are you so upset? And they're saying, we hate this godforsaken place because we were the ones who were carrying the bodies out of this building and we don't want to be here. What do you want from us? And I said, well, I want to put up a mural. This is August and I want to put it up, I said, by September 11th because I believe America needs to see it at memorial service. And they're saying, you're out of your mind. You know, you can't do this. You know, you wouldn't have enough money. Donald Trump would not have enough money to do this quickly. And they're like, don't leave. I mean, it took me so long to get you here and see the mock-up of this painting that would be a mock-up of the mural. And they saw it and they said, what is that? And I said, that's exactly what I'm trying to put up there. And they quieted them and they passed it around and then the leader said to me, okay. And I said, okay, what? And said, okay, we'll do it. And I said, then how much? And he said, nothing. And I said, I don't understand. Why would you do that? And he said, because if this is what's going up, I want to drive with my son and show him that I helped this to go up in the skies. And he was as good as his word. On September 7, 50 union workers showed up, and they worked for 12 hours, didn't charge a penny for this, and they made sure that this painting was secure and snug, and everything was there, and so they were really the heroes who were able to put that up. I just provided the painting itself and they did it. And then once the 9/11 memorial, first anniversary memorial happened, that painting was the backdrop to all the cameras from all over the world. And the message of that human spirit is not measured by the size of an act, but by the size of a heart, was everywhere. And that's what that was for.
Wow, Yakov. That is the most remarkable story. And I know that we're going to be jumping to a break right now. And my heart is just, when tears are just welled in my eyes. And to have 500 workers and to have men and carried the bodies out of that space, who didn't even be in that space, who were angry and volatile and then to see your painting and to realize what was going up and what they were have a man say to you, I want to be able to drive by and show my child that I helped put that up. Yeah. And that beauty, that energy is absolutely astounding. So thank you for being you and your incredible contribution to this nation and with your talent, your brilliance, and just more work than anybody I've ever come across. So when I'm back from the break, I would love to talk about now how you're taking that heart and that spirit and soul and wrapping it up into happily ever laughter, this incredible show that you've created and the comedy that you are doing now, and you are sharing consciousness in a whole different way and connecting people to one another when we return. So that would be amazing. And your whole journey, Yakov, is just unbelievable. And to think that everything that you've done, that you have now married in just joy and happiness in the world. So more with Yakov Smirnoff when we would hear on Passionate Living on Time Radio. How are you leading a passionate life? How is your life measured in heart and spirit and soul when we return?
The future of internet radio is here. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Have you bought into the idea that you have to work hard for your money, that business is hard? I will share some dynamic access consciousness tools to get you out of your own way so you can create a business that actually succeeds. Join me, Simone Millicent, on The Joy of Business at 4 p.m. Mondays Eastern.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network. Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at OM Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. OM Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business. Join Elliot Jolish, the business therapist, each Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern for the Elliot Jolish Hour, as he interviews business experts on your behalf. And you're invited to email your business questions to questions@ecjgroup.com for answers, live, on air, every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on the Elliot Jolish Hour. The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hi, it's Dame Nicole Brandon. We are back with celebrity comedian, artist, author, Yakov Smirnoff, who just shared one of the most profound, seat-edging, heart-opening stories I've ever heard. And the most incredible part is it is true, and it is real, and it is your life, which just seems like such a magic carpet ride. When I look at your resume, and I know we're on The Tonight Show, that you've been on television
shows and films. I remember the movie you did with Robin Williams and your specials on HBO and Showtime. And as I was sharing half of the show, that you actually performed in the White House for three separate presidents. And now you're creating an entirely new of laughter and love and joy and happily ever laughter. And I would love to talk about that. And one, how you had the idea to even create Happily Ever Laughter. And now, as your comedy opens, what you're finding that in the world.
Well, it was an interesting process. You know how a lot of times, you know, when you get lemonade.
Yes.
it happened, yes. And in my case, you know, this research has been happening for years and years in my mind. And just because a comedian, I would analyze and try to understand laughing and all of that. However, a while ago, I went for the divorce. And that became very personal because I pride myself that I could pretty much make millions of people laugh. And someone who was important in my life, my wife, I could make her laugh. Somehow, laughter went away. And no matter what I tried, it didn't seem like it was working. And so as we separated and went for the divorce, I started looking around and starting to see why there was no warning signs, and realized that laughter was really diminishing very gradually in our relationship, but we didn't pay attention to that. And so I started seeing the laughter as a gauge, perhaps as like a gauge in your, you know, and it's getting emptier, you know, to get to a gas station. Otherwise, it's going to be outside of the road. And that's what people, I believe, that don't pay attention to. And I believe that it's like a warning system, in addition to being very enjoyable and joyful and all of that. So I did the research, then I went back to college, University of Pennsylvania, which is school, was just by Benjamin Franklin 300 years ago, and I got lucky to get my master's degree in psychology with a professor who is a leading professor in positive psychology, Martin Seligman, and he wrote a book, Authentic Happiness, which I highly recommend. And so I was really given another chance to look at this and sense what America needs. Just like America's heart, it was driven by tragedy. And in some ways, my purse was also the this, saying, I want to understand better how to people see what laughter can do. And it's been a while now. It's like 17-year kind of a research process. And I performed in my theater in Branson, Missouri, over 4 million in front of over people. In every show, I would ask, how many of your laughter being part of the honeymoon stage of your relationship? And everyone applauds. And when I ask any of you who had a honeymoon stage where you did not have any laughter in it, no one applauds. So it tells me that 4 million people sample is pretty consistent.
Wow.
You know, so that's kind of I get my inspiration going, how do I bring laughter back in my life, and how do I help people understand how to bring the laughter in their lives?
That's perfect. And I remember watching one of your shows, and you had a couple on that had been married umpteen years. You would know.
Yeah, 81 years. Yeah.
81 years. And so what did you learn from them or share for them, or how did their love help other people in the process? Because I remember thinking that was extraordinary.
Well, they became good friends. I met them. They were guests on the Tonight Show. It was Jay Leno. And I contacted them. They live in Thousand Oaks in California. So we became friends. I invited them to come to Branson. And they, you know, they flew there. And it was funny because we sent a limo to pick them up. And the limo driver said that, you know, he heard that there's a couple coming with their child, with their son. And so he brought the car seat. And then he realized that the son's 70 years old. So it was humorous. But here's the secret that they exposed to me. They keep looking for to meet each other's needs, basically. That, and then a sense of humor is just a trigger to how once needs are met, then the humor just tickles you, and then you laugh. If needs are not met, you can't create it. It just doesn't happen. That's what I do on stage. When I walk out, friendliness and smile and the setup of the joke, that's meeting the audience needs. My punchline, what creates laughter, that's just a sense of humor, and we all have it. That's why 4 million people can't be wrong. We're all saying we all had a sense of humor in the beginning of the relationship, but then we don't know how to sustain the laughter. You don't need to worry about the laughter. All you need to that is, how do I meet my partner's needs? And once you do, laughter is going to be right back.
That's just unbelievable. I love that the limo driver brought a car seat and the son was 70 years old. That in itself is such a perfect image.
Yeah. Yeah, very. But they were terrific. They were just terrific couple to be around as a great example. You know, I asked them, I said, you know, what's the secret, you know? And she said, never go to bed, stay up and fight. You know, and that's, you know, it just was a, and again, just her sense of humor is what, and his sense of humor were just a trigger, but the love was sustainable only because they really about each other's needs. And he said that to me. He said, you know, her laughter is what I'm after. Because if I can make her laugh, you know, I can get her to laugh. I can get her to do pretty much anything I want. And that's, you know, and that's kind of he said it with a smirk in his, you know. And obviously, they survived 81 years together. So
that's so special. I absolutely love that. And since the show is Passionate Living and we're talking about being married 80-some years or reaching hearts, yes, and spirits and souls, what does passionate living mean to you, or leading a passionate life mean to you?
When I wake up in the morning, I meditate and then I tune in and see how can I serve, help, how can I be of assistance to other people. And that's what keeps me happy and excited and passionate. And there's another word that I want to offer that might be interesting to your listeners, because their passion is a great word. However, there's another word that I want to introduce, and it's fascination. Mm. What fascinates me? And that's what I look for in everyday life. Kind of, if I'm fascinated with something, I will wake up, and like right now, I'm working a podcast, right? Happily Ever Laughter podcast. And I'm fascinated with how to edit this, how to put the music underneath, and how to create the best podcast possible. And that creates the passion for me. It's a fascination of something that maybe I haven't done or haven't done as good as I want to. And it's in every aspect of my life, whether it's related with my children. You know, I look for an opportunity to create something that's what fascinates me. I'm getting prepared for Father's Day, for example, and you know, my mother is going to a Kundalini yoga camp, and I said, fascinating, I want to go. And so she'll be there during that time, and I'm flying myself and my son to join her, and he's fascinated. So now this fascination is what creates the passion. So again, it's what is it for me? It's like there is fascination that creates the passion.
That's an incredible description, an absolutely amazing description. And I love to use that. I'd love to be able to post
please,
a mission
please.
On our site, the fascination. And what a great way. I know we're going to break in just a minute here, but what a great way to celebrate Father's Day with your daughter and your son
yes.
at a Kundalini yoga.
Yeah, free. Yeah, exactly.
And that is fascinating, passionate. And when we come back, there's so much more that I want to share and ask. And as we quickly are just jumping to break, can you just tell us how we can find you and how somebody can find you and your work?
Probably the best way, turn left at at Pacific Coast Highway. It's yakov.com, YAKOV.com.
Beautiful. Some more with the absolutely astounding, touching, moving, illuminating, and fascinating Yakov Smirnoff when we return here on Passionate Living on Untimes Radio. What fascinates you in your world? Mind fascination.
Well, there's one more segment I didn't.
Hard drive. A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hi, my name is Monica, and I'm the host of Co-Creating Now. Give yourself an opportunity to connect with your all-knowing higher self and manifest joy, love, and peace together every Tuesday, 11 a.m. Eastern.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community. Simone Milicis would like you to know that business can be fun, which is why she wrote the book, Joy of Business. What if you could have the joy of business rather than the stress and struggle? Most of the time, the only thing stopping you from a thriving business is you. In the Joy of Business book, Simone gives you access consciousness tools and pragmatic ways to get out of your own way and to create the business, life, and living you know is possible and beyond what this reality says is achievable. Business is joy. It's creation. It's generative. It can be the adventure of living. You can purchase your copy of the book through Amazon or Joy of Business website, www.accessjoyofbusiness.com.
Imagine receiving healing, vibration-raising energy as you listen to the radio. Energy that flows effortlessly to you. Imagine exploring all things metaphysical, sharing in an ongoing adventure. Join me, Karen Smoot, along with my co-hosts Lisa Victorson and Wendy Weber for Immersion into Source every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on OM Radio.
Free your mind with OM Times Radio, IOM FM.
Is here with us, and we are just elated and fascinated with extraordinary life and vision and hope and dreams and the fulfillment of all that he brings to life. And Yaakov, there's something that I've wanted to ask you to share with our audience, because it's something in all of our conversations through the years. We've had so many conversations, and I've learned so much, and I've grown so much, and I've been impressed so much. But the thing that I think has touched me is your Man of La Mancha.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
So I was wondering if you could share a little bit about that with our audience as well.
Wow. For some reason, and I have not figured it out, I resonate with that play probably more than any other play that I've seen before. And it's a quest. Some of you, I don't know how many, do you think the listeners know about the play? Or
absolutely do, but if not, you can share a brief synopsis of Man of La Mancha with those that are new to it.
The brief synopsis is that this man who is supposedly, you know, feeble and not able to do much, and people don't see him as any kind of a power in the world. And he is able to see women in distress and wants to help them and protect them and save them and against all odds. And that song that more people probably know about, to dream the impossible dream, that comes from that play, Man of La Mancha, or movie, used to be a movie. I sing that song every day in the shower because comedy is my strong suit. Singing is not. But in the shower, I'm okay. Nobody's criticizing. So, I believe that's my quest, is to help figure out how do you help people, and in this particular case, it's just emotional for me to know that there's so much imbalance in the world, and maybe my contribution is to help bring that balance. And I believe when the balance is in place, laughter lives there. All the time. You still need sense of humor, but laughter can happen. And so that's kind of what that's why it's inspiring to me.
That's beautiful. I love that you sing the impossible dream in the shower every day. And when you say every day, you mean every day, not sometimes or occasionally.
No. This is like a mantra. Yeah, this is a mantra. To dream the impossible dream, to fight the unbeatable foe, to bear the unbearable sorrow, to run where the brave dare not go, to right the wrong, to love, cure, share from afar, to try when your arms are too weary to reach the unreachable star. This is my quest, to follow the star no matter how hopeless, no matter how far, to fight for the right without question or pause, to be willing to march into hell for a heavenly cause. And I know if I only be true to this glorious quest, that my heart will lay peaceful and calm when I'm laid to my rest. And the world will be better for this, that one man, scorned and covered with scars, still strolls with his last ounce of courage to reach the unreachable star.
Yaakov, just astounding. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. And if we all can live that way and reach for the unreachable star, and coming from a country and a place and a space where several families shared a room and you looked out the window when your parents want to be romantic, to coming to this faraway land and creating a world and sharing your humor, your laughter, your talent, and then your artistic ability standing in the 9/11 Memorial, and even now being able to be in the 9/11 Memorial Museum and to be able to live on for historical and all time and sharing your laughter with down the world. I mean, everything that you're doing is so beautiful and it's so riveting and it's so profound and it's made such a difference in people's lives. And as we're coming to the close of the show, is there any advice you would give to people that have an impossible dream that think that I was born in the wrong country or that I don't have the funds or the wherewithal or the support to see my dreams fulfilled and that have this insurmountable desire in their spirit and heart? Is there anything that you can share with them?
Well, I think it's the obvious. I mean, I guess when you come from where I came from, I mean, I was 26 years old, and I came with no language. I mean, I didn't speak English. I didn't understand what's going to happen. You know, I didn't have any money. I mean, we had $100 between three of us and New York City in front of us. And people were kind, and I think everybody will help if you're willing to help yourself. I mean, people just, no matter what, and I've gone through ups and downs in my career, and it happened over and over and over again. When you show that you're stepping up, people will support you. If you're just kind of down and not willing to, you know, do anything, they won't help. They will just ignore you. And I highly recommend that. You know, you probably heard that old joke about, you know, the guy praying to God, saying, "God, let me win the lottery. Let me win the lottery." And then he hears God's voice say, "At least buy a ticket."
Oh, that's brilliant. That's so...
Well, I'd say it's all there, yeah.
Oh. And so as we're close show, what's next? What's the newest horizon of Happily Ever Laughter and the world of Yakov Smirnoff?
At this moment, I'm focused on doing a podcast, and hopefully it will be a conversation with comedians of how they create laughter in their relationships and how it can enrich people around the world. And that's the immediate possibility here. I wrote and produced a sitcom also that will feature me as, or I'll be starring as a professor of from the university, which I do now. I teach at Missouri State University a course on laughter and happiness. So it will be kind of semi-autobiographical, and I will have kind of a setup of sitcom where I teach millennials how to create happiness. But when I go home, I'm challenged with my own issues that will probably, you know, everybody will recognize, because we're all humans and we all have similar things. So those are the things I'm hoping to be on Dancing with the Stars, that you, Nicole, have been very, very helpful. We went a couple of filmings there and enjoyed that experience. So hopefully that will happen soon.
Absolutely.
And so those are a few things on my plate.
I love it. It's a few things. A podcast, a television series, and Dancing with the Stars. I love your life.
Yeah.
It's so expansive.
Well,
and it's so expansive.
Yeah, it,
and I see you doing all of those things. And as you sing the impossible dream, I know that nothing is impossible for you, and all of your wishes and dreams and desires will come true in the future. And as we're closing the show, I just wanted to quickly make sure that people know that you have a book out there as well, because I know that the book bring humor into somebody's daily life. And so can you just quickly share the name and how they can find your book too?
Oh, the book, just go to my website, yaakov.com, Y-A-K-O-V.com, and you will find it there on online. The book is called Smyrna for the Soul, and that will be, yes, it will kind of give you an idea of what my journey, life journey was and is, and there's another book also there. It's called American 6 Rubles a Day. That's more of a funny book, but Smirnov for the Soul, more inspirational.
Wow, shots of Smirnov. Well, I absolutely just am so honored that you were with us today, and thank you so much for the generosity of your time and for sharing your gifts and your magic and your wisdom and your laughter and your humor and your heart all around the world, and especially here in this nation, for all that you've given us and for all that you do. It's always such a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Nicole.
Wow. What an incredible, incredible journey to live the impossible dream and to actually know that is possible, and to have that be, I love that Yaakov talks about that that's his daily mantra. And what is the mantra for your life? To have a passionate life. What's fascinating in your world, and how do you share your laughter and your heart and your spirit and soul? How do you relate to others and bring them joy? How do you find your passionate here on Passionate Living? From Yaakov Smirnov and myself, Nicole Brand, wishing you the happily ever after and a passionate, passionate life.